Outside Health and Fitness Podcast, episode 137, Anti-Aging with Tyson Lee.
So this workout that I'm about to explain is actually 10 times more effective in 6 to 8 weeks than it is today.
Welcome to the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. We're getting outside the box, outside our comfort zone, and outside and in shape. If you're bored with the same old fitness routine at the gym and you're ready to try something new, then this is the show for you. We're exploring new and fun ways to get fit on the trail, on the water, on the slopes, and outside.
Hi, this is Steve Stearns from Outside Health and Fitness, and thank you for joining me for another episode. If you're new to the show, we like to stay fit and active by having fun outside. We like to ride, slide, run, walk, hike, bike, golf, rolf, swim, and ski. If it's fun outside and it keeps us healthy, we love it. So if you're like us and you like to have fun outside, then you found the right place. You know, we're all getting older, right? I mean, it's one of those things that we all have in common. And for some of us, we might be noticing it a bit more, but no matter where you are in life, you're getting older, that's for sure. As we age, our pituitary gland, which is a pea-sized structure right at the base of the brain, slowly reduces the amount of growth hormone it's producing. Now, as a result, we begin to show signs of aging. And there's a lot of controversy surrounding synthetic human growth hormone. And there should be. But what if there was a way through exercise to stimulate your body's natural production and reduce the signs and symptoms of aging? Well, my guest today says there is. And he's going to share with you an exercise program you can do no matter your age to help you get energized, be healthier, and feel younger.
OutsideHealthAndFitness.com.
My guest today is Tyson Lee from TyFit. He's been named one of the highest paid online trainers in the entire world. He teaches a different brand of fitness and not what you'll find in the majority of the fitness industry. He's here today to share an amazing workout you can do to start feeling better and turning back the clock. So let's get right into my interview with Tyson. All right, Tyson, well, welcome to Outside Health and Fitness. I'm really looking forward to talking with you about all the things that you're doing to help people prepare for anti-aging. We all are getting older, right? So.
Yeah. Unless it depends the way you look at it. Some of us are getting younger.
Oh, that's true. That's right. We're not getting older. We're getting better, right?
That's right.
Absolutely. So can you give us a little bit of a rundown on just some of the work that you're doing in terms of helping people get fit, get active, stay young, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, kind of the basis and the key of health and fitness is longevity, right? Mm-hmm. We all want to feel and look younger. And the way that the fitness industry has gone, and I'm not saying that anything is good, bad, right, wrong, or indifferent. It just simply is what it is. Most people are under the impression that to achieve the body of their dreams or to look younger or to look like the magazine covers, that we must throw out everything else in our lives and dedicate ourselves to the gym, to nutrition, to things like that.
Right.
And really what I preach is that it's so much more about lifestyle, but even myself personally, I only work out 3 hours and 15 minutes a week. And you can get away with working out as little as an hour a week if you do it correctly. And so what I teach people to do is to reverse the aging process, recapture their youth without trading their life in the gym. And mm-hmm. the reason that that is important is because life is about balance, Steve, and we want to have epic relationships, epic finances, as well as an epic body of health. Well, I know from personal experience, when I was spending 15 hours a week in the gym, the other areas of my life were suffering. And so it's really about abundance and balance and bringing everything in together. And my clients are getting an average result of 30 pounds of fat loss in 8 to 12 weeks that we work together. And it's been remarkable, and it's just been a whole lot of fun.
That's awesome. And you're absolutely right. I mean, everybody is busy. You can't, unfortunately, spend that sort of time in the gym. So it sounds like you've got something here where it's just more of an efficient time spent than it is about the amount of time that you're doing it.
Absolutely.
Talk to us about what your program is, how this works to to help, and maybe even some of the, what are some of the benefits that your clients are seeing?
Absolutely. So I'll kind of give you, you know, the rundown on how it came to be. Mm-hmm. So I used to work out in the gym 15 hours a week. It was incredibly taxing on my body, and I sustained quite a few injuries. I blew out my L4, L5, and S1 and had rheumatic fever, which basically is blood infection that eats your lean body mass. Wow. Went from 165 pounds to 129 in a little over 3 weeks. So it just totally riddled my body. And, oh man, I was so bummed out that I had was not able to be physically active. Six different doctors actually told me, you know, I would never be physically active like I once was. They wanted to put me in counseling and therapy and stuff so that I could learn how to overcome this. And I just kind of had that refuse to lose mentality. Mm-hmm. And so what that allowed me to do was it allowed me to really start to research and understand the body and find the fastest and most efficient ways to basically remain fit. And one of those is exercise-induced human growth hormone release. So for those of you guys that aren't aware, you know, we're always being marketed to in the side of our Facebook feed or, you know, 6-minute abs or 8-minute abs,
right.
The new celebrity secret, right? Everybody wants to do what the celebrities are doing. Well, I'm going to let you guys in on something, and I'll tell you what the real celebrity secret is. Well, celebrities have the finances to afford it, and for years, to reverse, slow, or freeze the aging process, celebrities have been getting HGH injections at the cost of anywhere from $1,800 to $3,600 an injection, up to $15,000 a year, right? And that's why we have Jennifer Aniston looking like she's 32 when she's 50, yeah, or almost 50. Brad Pitt, George Clooney, kind of the same theory, right? Now, obviously, those guys have the financial position to be able to take care of themselves, but their real secret is HGH. And we've been researching exercise-induced human growth hormone release as a society or since as a culture, as Americans, since 1977. And we've been building up a wealth of evidence and a wealth of research, and it's now close to undeniable. So for years, the American Heart Association, their guidelines have been, you know, 3 to 4 or 4 to 5 days of 35 minutes to 45 minutes of slow cardio to remain in good health.
Right.
Well, the American Heart Association has actually changed their guidelines to three times a week, 30 minutes of vigorous activity. Mm. And I'm going to explain why this is. So we're going to be, I'm going to teach you guys right now how to mimic those same human growth hormone injections. And I'm actually going to give your audience a 2-week free workout that explains this whole thing. And I'll explain how to get to that.
That's great.
So how do we release human growth hormone? Well, human growth hormone, when we're adolescents or we're children, is what allows us to grow and mature into adults. It is what our body uses to grow and to build muscle and to mature. Well, if you watch a kid, Steve, on the playground and you watch how he runs, what does he do? You see the little kid with his buddies and he takes off and he runs as fast and as hard as he can.
Right.
And he's going and going and going. And then all of a sudden he stops. And what does he do? He repays the oxygen debt. And then as soon as he repays that oxygen debt and catches his breath, what does he do? He takes back off again.
Yeah.
Well, instinctually, this is how we were meant to move. Now, due to technological advances, due to the way that kids are being raised today, more kids are not moving this way. And that's why I believe there's a direct link into the way that we're moving in childhood obesity.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at that and you look at the way the child works out. Well, that's the way God intended us to move, as far as I'm concerned. And when we move that way, we stay incredibly healthy. So most of us, after high school or collegiate athletics, if we don't go on to play professional sports or things like that, we become slow twitch movers.
Mm-hmm.
And we only focus on slow twitch muscle fibers. Now, I'm going to explain some really great things. We have recently found out that our slow twitch muscle fibers and the aerobic threshold of our heart are not on an equal playing field. This is why running marathon or distance creates heart scars and why people have died of heart attacks. The biggest question that I get is when somebody's 100 pounds overweight, you know, how could you possibly have them going full speed at 100%, you know, with them being in that condition? Well, for one, we do it on cardio equipment, so they're not actually running. Mm-hmm. But for two, why we are able to do that is because we've recently found, the Mayo Clinic did some research on this, that when we go full speed, we go into the fight or flight response. Now, if you guys have ever YouTube a bunch of channels or anything and you see these guys that are 100 pounds overweight and they lift a helicopter up in a life or death situation, save this person, that's the fight or flight response. And due to the fight or flight response, we have a protective mechanism that goes over the heart in this fight or flight response that allows us to push full speed for up to 30 seconds without heart injury. So I have researched, if you guys can research, if anybody can find this information out, I would love to. I have looked high and low and have not seen it. As far as I'm concerned or aware of, there has not been one case of a heart attack in any sprinter or anybody sprinting that has had a heart problem. Another reason this is because our fast twitch muscle fibers and the anaerobic threshold of our heart, Steve, are on an equal playing field, meaning one cannot strengthen without the other. So to use the anaerobic threshold of our heart, we have to be going 5 to 10 times faster than we would normally be going. Well, it just so happens that fast twitch muscle fibers activate when we are going 5 to 10 times faster than our slow twitch for 5 to 10 seconds. Our super fast twitch muscle fibers activate 10 to 15 seconds after we're going full speed. Now, what happens because this is the way that it is? Well, your anaerobic threshold cannot strengthen of the heart. Your anaerobic threshold of the heart cannot strengthen without strengthening your fast twitch muscle fibers. So we've all gone full speed and we're going as fast and as hard as we can. And then all of a sudden, our bodies start to slow down, even though we're mentally pushing 100%, right? Now, why are we slowing down? Well, we simply don't have built up fast twitch muscle fibers. And so we automatically start to slow. As your fast twitch muscle fibers get stronger, Steve, so does the anaerobic threshold of your heart. I hope I'm explaining this well enough so that you guys can understand one cannot get stronger with the other. Therefore, your body will only allow you to push as fast as your heart can hold.
Right. Now, this sounds very similar to Tabata theory, where you're just going hard out as hard as you can, like high intensity interval training with short periods of rest in between. Is it very similar to that?
Yeah. So in theory, it is high intensity interval training. Now, what is very specific about this workout is the four thresholds of HGH release that must be hit. Mm-hmm. Now, this workout has had a lot of research done around it. And as far as we're aware, this actually mimics human growth hormone injections. So doing something like you were saying, a Tabata workout, that is going to secrete more growth hormone than a jog. Hmm. But what we have found is that the very specific intervals in the breaks that we use during this Sprint 8 workout mimics HGH injections, giving you a far better increase of GH secretion than any other workout known to man.
Cool. That's very interesting. When you say Sprint 8, you're literally talking about sprinting.
Well, yes and no. Okay. So, yes. So, obviously, if you were to think about it, I work with clients that are 100, 150 pounds overweight.
Right.
It would be ludicrous to having these people that, you know, haven't been athletic in years.
Sprinting, right.
Run and actually sprint. So the whole sprint theory is it's the way that we work the heart muscle, not the way that we work the body. Mm-hmm. Now, usually to hit the specific thresholds, we get to use our leg muscles, which are the biggest muscles in the body. So no, you don't have to sprint. The other way that this can be done is on a recumbent bike. Mm-hmm. It can be done on an elliptical. I teach people to do this basically without moving forward or backward. They can do it in a still position. So you need a 4x4 room to be able to do it. It is all about the way that we work the heart muscle. So I know that you guys are probably thinking, okay, well, how do I release GH? Well, I'm going to get into how we release it. But first, I'd like to talk about what happens in the body and why it's so important to release it.
I was just going to ask you that question. How is that helping with that anti-aging?
When we hit the age of 30 or around 30, we go through the first phase of aging, which is called hormonal aging. And it is the decrease of HGH. This is when your metabolism starts to slow down, wrinkles start to set in, you start to feel like you have less energy. It's literally the first phase of aging. It's called somapause. And so there's another hormone that completely contradicts HGH. The more of this hormone that you have in the body, the less HGH. The more HGH you have in the body, the less of this hormone. I probably will butcher the name, Steve. Somatostatin.
Okay.
And somatostatin is increased when we hit about the age of 30. This is the only thing that dictates the first phase of aging, which is called hormonal aging. The second phase of aging doesn't hit till around the age of 40. So in theory, if we can boost GH levels, then they never drop. We skip the first phase of aging, which is hormonal aging.
Mm-hmm.
What else helps with the anti-aging? Well, HGH repairs liver damage, organ damage. It thickens skin by 7%. It improves skin elasticity. It fills in wrinkles. It strips fat. It packs on muscle. It improves brain performance. And so there are so many things. There was a doctor who claimed that HGH is the new fountain of youth, but they actually are calling it now the fit hormone because it does everything in our body that regulates fitness.
What you're really talking about with anti-aging is you're still aging clearly, but you're living a more satisfying lifestyle at that point.
Absolutely. Well, hormones dictate if we're overweight, underweight, hungry, satisfied, young, or old. Our hormones are the mechanisms that control the way the body functions and the way that it operates. So to stay young, we get to mimic same hormonal balance that we have of a 20-year-old.
Right. Let's talk about this release. During normal aging, there's a reduction in HGH in the body. And what your Sprint 8 program is doing is it's increasing that release. So how does that work?
Yeah. Okay. First off, the average American holds between 0.4 and 1 gram of HGH in the back store of their pituitary gland. The best example I can use is breast milk.
Mm-hmm.
If when a mother continues to breastfeed, she continues to produce breast milk. And when she stops breastfeeding, it dries up. Well, we have stopped moving in the fashion to release HGH. So our back store has depleted. This is without a doubt the coolest part. Every person has the capability, Steve, to hold up to 10 grams of HGH. So the more that you start to produce it, the more that you hold in your back store. So this workout that I'm about to explain is actually 10 times more effective in 6 to 8 weeks than it is today. So for that reason, you're going to be able to go out. This workout at full progression only takes 20 minutes to do. With an hour of working out a week, if you do this correctly, it will change your life. And it will, if you're in your 40s, it'll reverse the aging process by up to 10 years. More importantly, for people that are in their late 20s or early 30s, this can prevent the first phase of aging from happening. So how do we do it? It's less about what you're doing externally and more how you're working the body internally. There are four specific thresholds of HGH release, and I'm going to explain those to you now. What are they? Well, some of them are simple and some of them are a little more complex. The very first threshold of HGH release, which must happen in order for your pituitary gland to secrete HGH, is raising your body temperature 1 degree. Now, if it's summertime, your body temperature is probably already raised 1 degree. But regardless, any workout, any warm up will raise your body temperature 1 degree. So we warm up, we raise the body temperature 1 degree. You got a hoodie on, something like that. And trust me, by the time you're sprinting, you are going to have your body temperature raised 1 degree. So without this workout, we still release HGH in the body, some more than others. And we release it in rapid eye movement sleep, so REM. And so usually the most growth hormone secreted throughout a 24-hour period is in your REM sleep. Mm-hmm. So you will actually, even though you're going to be secreting the HGH right after this workout, it will greatly increase the amount that you produce while you're sleeping, which is remarkable. The biggest feedback that I get from clients is they tell me, you know, Tyson, I went from sleeping 8 to 9 hours a night to waking up 6.5 hours after I went to bed without an alarm. And so it's great. The second threshold is the lactic threshold. Now, the lactic threshold is when you're going full speed, if you can remember in high school running full speed, maybe punching a punching bag, whatever you're doing that's incredibly intense. Well, when you hit the lactic threshold, your muscles start to burn. They get, you know, a very deep burn in them. What also starts to happen is our body starts to slow. So like I was talking about before, as you're running full speed, you're mentally still pushing. Well, once you get to a certain point, your body starts to slow down, regardless of the fact that you're pushing 100%. So the lactic threshold is the second. 15 minutes after we hit the lactic threshold is when we get the major secretion of GH out of the pituitary gland. Each one of the sprint intervals has the capability to release enough growth hormone for it to course, for you to have a synergistic window where it's coursing through the body for up to 15 minutes. The sprint workout is 8 rounds at full progression. We start at 4, which is the workout that I'm going to be giving out, is the first 2 weeks, and it builds to 8. So after you do it 8 times, you have a synergistic window of 2 hours. Well, in that 2 hours, HGH can eat up to a half of a pound of fat while speeding recovery, while packing on muscle. So the third threshold that we must hit at the end of the interval is the oxygen debt. The oxygen debt is that totally winded, out of breath feeling when you're done sprinting, you're sucking wind.
Right.
We must bring our bodies to that point. If you didn't hit the lactic threshold or the oxygen debt in 30 seconds, chances are you weren't going full speed. So when we hit these other three responses in the body.
You're saying the oxygen debt should happen within 30 seconds?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm going to go through the intervals right after this. So
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. The oxygen debt will happen after 30 seconds. But if you think about it, Steve, if you were to sprint after a good warm up, and we're talking actually sprinting, let's say on a grass field,
right?
And you were to sprint for 30 seconds, is there any way, no matter how good a shape you are in, that you wouldn't be out of breath if you were going full speed?
Yeah, if you were going full out, 30 seconds would be it.
So we hit these other three responses, and then the fourth response that is hit is called the adrenal response, the fight or flight response in the body. So when we push our bodies full speed, full effort, like that, we hit the adrenal response. So the three that you guys want to be focused on is raising your body temperature 1 degree, which, guys, you really don't have to focus on because it's going to happen if you're moving like that.
Right.
You really want to focus on are the lactic threshold and the oxygen debt. If you continue to hit these two thresholds, you will release GH. So to give you guys an idea of how the workout is, I'm going to talk about it on a piece of cardio equipment. Now, all that's important is hitting these thresholds. Right. So if you can hit the thresholds at first in 20 seconds, then that's long enough. Typically, it's a 30-second sprint. So we're on a recumbent bike and we do a 3-4 minute warm up. We, you know, have been going for a minute and now we're ready to do our sprints. Well, if we were going to do 4 rounds, full progression is 8. But the start of it, how it would look. So we want to put the resistance up a little bit, maybe to 5 or 6. And then all of a sudden the clock hits 0 and it's time to go. You take off and you sprint as hard and as fast as you can on that bike and you pedal, 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 pedal. And at the end of 30 seconds is when you stop. Now, sprinting on pavement or sprinting on a grass field or a track, you can hit the thresholds faster. Typically on cardio equipment, we're always going to be going 30 seconds. So it's 30 seconds on, 90 seconds off. This is what they have shown through research to be the most effective in boosting GH levels. So you go for 30 seconds and then you slow the resistance down. You keep pedaling, but very, very lightly, just very slowly pedaling in the body.
So in that 90 seconds, you're not stopping. You're still moving, but you're just being very easy about it.
Yeah. I mean, you should be going so slow that you're recovering just as fast as if you were stopped. Right. I mean, literally just keep the legs in motion.
Yes.
That's it. So what happens here, and this is why this workout is so beneficial, when you're running slow cardio for 45 minutes, you're working the aerobic threshold of your heart and your slow twitch muscle fibers. I've already previously stated that our fast twitch muscle fibers engage 5 to 10 seconds after full speed, and our super fast twitch muscle fibers engage 10 to 15 seconds after full speed. Well, the average person is comprised up to 40% fast twitch muscle fibers. So we hardly ever work these in the gym or with the regular workouts that we're doing. So we're effectively not training up to 40% of our muscle fibers. They're actually finding that fast twitch muscle fibers have a direct link to cholesterol levels and blood pressure. I had a client that was on blood pressure medication and cholesterol medication, she got a 20-point drop in both her blood pressure and cholesterol in less than 8 weeks. Wow. I don't know a statin drug in America that is capable of doing that. So here we got this at 4 rounds. It's a 10-minute workout. Even at full progression, Steve, it's only 4 minutes of movement. It's only a 30-second sprint.
Yeah.
When we take our 90-second break, we have effectively pushed the heart so hard that in that 90 seconds, we never actually drop below the aerobic threshold. So now you're working your heart anaerobically with one workout, and aerobically. Not so anaerobically and aerobically.
Yes. That's hard to say, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. I tell you, tongue twister. You are working your slow twitch muscle fibers, your fast twitch muscle fibers, and your super fast twitch muscle fibers all in one workout, hitting the entire spectrum.
That is cool. So you're talking about 3 to 4 minute warm up. Then if you're using machinery like treadmill or something like that, you're sprinting as hard as you can for 30 seconds. Then you're backing off real slow, real easy for 90 seconds. And then you're repeating that same process 4 times or 8 times?
Full progression is 8. I would start everybody with 4.
The cool thing
about the sprints is, Steve, is that the progression through this program is faster than any other progression that I have ever seen in any other type of working out. Literally, my clients after 2 or 3 weeks will tell me that their cardiovascular strength is like it has never been ever in their life. To give you an idea of how powerful this workout is that they're actually training world-class marathon runners differently now. They used to do 3 long runs a week, three decent-sized runs a week, followed by a very long-distance run on the weekend. Now they are running the sprints 3 times a week with 1 long-distance run on the weekend, and their times are improving. I know it doesn't make sense, but by doing this sprint workout, you're actually going to improve the cardiovascular system by so much that you're going to become a better marathon runner by sprinting.
That's amazing. Now, how can we hook up with you to learn more about what you're doing?
Cool. So I just launched the business June 1st.
Okay.
So my first thing was to build the content out and the information. That is now done. So awesome. A lot of my time is focused on, you know, marketing efforts, getting my name out there, getting on wonderful, you know, collaborating with wonderful people like you. The world has kind of changed the way that we do business. If you guys are really looking to gain a large amount of information, adding me on Facebook may be the best way.
Yeah.
I put out a new video every single day, at least 5 videos a week, with great pieces of information that you can take away from that video right then and there and implement it into your lives. The other way would be to go get the free workout at www.theactionboss.com.
Okay.
You will get the two-week free workout, and we will keep you on our email list, and we will send you emails with tips and tricks and special giveaways that we do. Now, I've been incredibly blessed to be in a position where I've been able to be very selective about the clients that I work with. Right now, the way the business model is set up, I'm only taking 8 clients a month, and that's for an 8-week course that is done in a group coaching model.
Yeah.
I'm looking at bringing on another coach, Steve, and he should be up and running by September, so we will be able to have 16 spots a month, eight with him and 8 with me, going through the exact same program you would with me, but, you know, having a group coach or coach run the group.
I'll have links of both of those in the show notes for this episode, so folks can go over there and check that out. Obviously, I understand that everybody's threshold is sort of uniquely their own, but still, it would be important for somebody to kind of check with their physician to make sure everything's okay before they try something like this, right?
Absolutely. So I'm always going to recommend that you check with your physician. Doctors have their place in the world, and it's because of doctors that I'm here today. So, but doctors also told me that I wouldn't be able to be physically active again. I mean, I ran a half marathon 6 months after I got out. I'm in some of the best shape of my life now. I do believe that mind over matter is super important.
Yeah.
I can tell you from experience that I had a client, actually currently working with her now, and she had had some heart issues, and I'm trying to remember the exact condition she had. She basically had a weak heart. So the Mayo Clinic, 48 hours after transplant surgery, is using this sprint workout to strengthen the heart. That's how safe it is.
Wow, that's impressive.
I would always recommend that you check with your doctor.
Of course, yeah.
Health is the most important thing. You guys, if you haven't done any kind of high intensity movement, it's okay to start with one sprint.
Sure.
And then two the next time when it works. So we're still learning more research out about this. And I don't tell people this quite often, Steve, because, you know, I do believe in hard work and, you know, working for what you want. But the beautiful thing about this workout is it's not about what we're actually doing physically. It's about it's happening internally that gets the results. So they did a study in men over 50. Now, the full Sprint 8 progression program gets you an average release of 771% increase in HGH. They did a small study in men over 50 to do one long sprint a day.
Mm-hmm.
They were basically sprinting one time as hard and as fast as they could. Their increase was 500% with the one sprint. So wow. We're still unsure. We do know that 8 gets you the most release, and anything after 8 is no longer beneficial as far as releasing human growth hormone.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know what the happy medium is quite yet.
Interesting. And as someone that's over 50, I'm very excited about that. I was going to ask you that because you were talking about the benefits for 30 and 40 year olds. And I'm assuming that there's some good benefits for those of us that are over 50 and even into their 60s and 70s.
Absolutely. So my grandfather is 83 years old.
Yeah.
And he's got one of those old exercise bikes with the fan on it. Yeah, I mean,
I've seen those.
You know what? Which are great because the harder you go, the more resistance there is.
Yeah.
So my grandfather had massive gout problems, massive pain in his body. And he was an avid golfer, and he hadn't been able to golf for quite some time. So I started to work with him, and we got him just doing two sprints three times a week. And he has regained his golf game. He feels like he is 10, 15 years younger. And what I will tell you is that the older you are, the more increase that you'll get. So basically, you're not going to be secreting more growth hormone than somebody that's 30. But from where you currently are to where you will be is a much more dramatic increase.
That's great news for us. That's very cool. Well, Tyson, thank you so much for sharing this. This is amazing stuff, and I really appreciate you sharing that two-week workout so that we can give this a try and see for ourselves. And I encourage everybody to go over to www.theactionboss.com and check out all the stuff that Tyson has going on over there. Thanks again, Tyson.
Absolutely. Thank you, Steve.
That was some amazing information, and I hope you got a lot out of the show today. In fact, I would love it if you would leave me a review in iTunes and let me know what you think. You know, reviews and ratings in iTunes really help other people find the show, and it keeps me energized. If you haven't left a review yet, it is super easy. If you're listening on an Apple device using the podcast app, just click on the artwork to see the show notes. Click the link, leave a rating and review in iTunes, and jot down your thoughts. It's that simple. Or visit outsidehealthandfitness.com/136 to leave a review and for links to everything we talked about in the show today and more information on Tyson and Ty Fit. While you're there, be sure to get your free copy of Fit Fast First Thing, my Tabata morning workout for a quick 10-minute routine you can use to start your day off right. Well, that wraps up another episode of the Outside Health and Fitness Podcast. I hope you got something of value from the show today that helps you get outside and in shape. For more on taking your health and fitness outside, visit outsidehealthandfitness.com and subscribe to the show. Until next time, I'll see you outside.